Kol Yisrael. So what I want to talk about tonight is something that I myself have to work a lot upon, which is usually why I prepare my shiurs, because it's what I want to work on. And that's the topic of giving through speech, specifically through compliments. And God willing, we'll also find some time to talk about receiving compliments. Because it's so common to talk about Lashon Hara. And that's great. We should definitely learn all about Lashon Hara and not speak Lashon Hara. Don't speak. Learn about not speaking Lashon Hara. Because it's really, really hard not to speak Lashon Hara. So we need constant reminders. But sometimes people get the feeling like Judaism's all about don't say this, don't say that, don't. And really, what we're going to learn tonight is there's a concept of Lashon Tov, of speaking good and giving through your speech. And I think it's important to also talk about that a lot. In fact, it's known that the Chofetz Chaim, who really, you know, taught us so much about Lashon Hara, would speak a lot. He'd speak all the time. But he'd speak about positive things, happy things, nice things. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. How to give compliments in the best possible way from a Torah and psychological perspective. Sounds good. And then we're going to do a little exercise to make it real, to actually do it. And then we'll brainstorm together about bringing it to the universe. Okay. So I want to teach you a fantastic Rambam that my friend Moshe taught me. It's in Hilchos Deos, which is when the Rambam talks about how to be a nice, ethical, good person. Very interesting book.
The Rambam?
The Rambam, Maimonides. So this is what he says. In Hilchos Deos, Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel. Chapter 6, verse 3. Not verse, Mishnah 3. Mitzvah al kol adam lehovet kol achav lecham Yisrael kigufo. Rambam, Maimonides. The Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah on every person to love every single Jew like your own body. We all naturally love our own body. We don't want to hurt our body. So it's a mitzvah that we should love every Jew. Shenamar, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha. We learned about this last week. We spoke about how this is the main principle of the Torah, according to Rabbi Akiva. Lefichach, here's the chiddush. Tzarich lesaper b'shivcho. You need to tell stories of praise about a person.
I thought that even us telling stories of praise could be was a jeopardy.
Oh, you make a good point. Gabriella makes a good point that the Chofetz Chaim writes that under certain contexts it can be dangerous to speak praise about other people. But it all depends on the context. So, for example, what the Chofetz Chaim is talking about is you're sitting in the lunchroom and one guy says in front of a million other people, hey, that rabbi gave such an awesome shiur. And then what's going to naturally happen? One guy's going to comment, yeah, but the rabbi did this, blah, 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 but it wasn't that good. There's always that guy. In that context, the Chofetz Chaim's right that he says, avak lashon hara, it's a dust of lashon hara, because it could lead to someone speaking negatively. But if you look in the little footnotes, even there, the Chofetz Chaim writes, but in a purely positive context, and no one's going to speak Lashon Hara, then that's a good thing.
But that's in a vacuum.
Yeah, in a vacuum. So it all depends on the context. Again, the Rambam was way before the Chofetz Chaim. The Rambam was hundreds of years before the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim has to answer to the Rambam. The Rambam doesn't have to answer to the Chofetz Chaim. But it's clear that under certain contexts, you can speak positively about other people. The Torah speaks positively about other people. But you do have to be careful that you don't say it in the wrong way, in the wrong place. Yeah? But what's interesting thing here that the Rambam says, what's the first thing he says in order to love your fellow Jew? Right? What's the first thing? You have to?
Not hate him in the heart.
No, that's not the first thing he says. That's maybe what the Torah says. But he says, therefore, what's the first way the Rambam explains what does it mean to love your fellow?
Look for the good.
To look for the good, that's Rabbi Nachman, but before you, that's talking about in your thoughts, and that's true. But that's also beautiful, but not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, Lefichach, Tzarich Lesaper B'Shivcho. Therefore, you are obligated to speak in praise of your neighbor. So how do we manifest loving our fellow?
Speaking praise.
Speaking praise about them. By praising them. By complimenting them. And talking good about them. Why do you think that is? Very interesting. Why do you think the Rambam writes that in order to manifest avyachta kamocha consciousness, loving your fellow, it's by praising him?
Because that's already, your thoughts are done, the speech is already an action. Already speaking is already bringing stuff into the world. It's already like an action.
Mm-hmm. So speech is more of a real action than just thinking it. But why specifically act this action of praising and not another action?
Looking for the good, so you have to look for the good in order to compliment.
So both are the thinking and the speech are interacting in that sense. Okay, very nice.
Also, if you say it so much, like praise someone so much, then you actually start believing it and thinking it.
Nachon. When
really
nachon, what we speak in ultimately bounces back into what we think. So if we actually train ourselves to speak positively, we'll actually start thinking positively. So it's also they go both ways. Very very fascinating. Very very good. Very nice. I like that.
Well, what should we be telling lies about?
So that's another question. We don't necessarily mean to be doing chanifa. Chanifa means flattery, and that's an isser in the Torah. When you go out of your way to flatter someone, because when you're flattering someone, it's not about them. It's about you. You're trying to use them and manipulate them, so you make up a praise. I don't think that's what the Rambam is talking about. He's talking about a real praise, a real compliment that's genuine, that you actually need. Okay, but that is an important distinction. And it's true that there are certain situations when we can flatter, when we're allowed to lie for the sake of the truth, right? For example, the Mishnah says that the song that Kala Na'a V'chasuda, you're allowed to tell a newly married couple, a man or a woman, oh, you look beautiful, even if they don't really look that beautiful, for the sake of Shalom Bayis. But that's an exceptional situation. And most of the time, you're not supposed to lie, and you're supposed to be genuine and praise from the heart, says Rav.
What do lies if it's for
something's benefit, then necessarily it's okay? Right, so that's what I'm saying. For the sake of Shalom Bayis, under certain particular circumstances, you can twist the truth a little bit, but that's its own category. It's true. The point I'm saying is, I think it's fascinating. The Rambam says the way to love your fellow is to compliment them and to speak positively about them. Speech is so fundamental. Of course, he goes on to say and care about their money, and be honor them. But it's still interesting that the first thing he mentions is complimenting another person. And there's an interesting Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, which I never really understood until I started thinking about this year. And that's in the second parak of Pirkei Avos. Most of Pirkei Avos is just like nice advice that the rabbis teach us. And then you get to the second parak, the eighth Mishnah. It goes on and on and on and on and on about the good qualities of all of these different rabbis. And then it goes on to talk about these rabbis and all the good things that they said. So I'll just quote it. Chamisha tamidim ayu lo l'rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. There are five students of Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Ezer ben Horkanas, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananiah, Rabbi Yossi HaKohen. Rabbi Ezer ben Horkanas, Bur Sech Einam Yavet Yipa. This guy, he was an amazing listener. Everything he said, the teacher said, he soaked it up. Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananiah, Ashir Ola Lato. Wow, may he be praised. The one who gave birth to him, she was amazing. Rabbi Yossi HaKohen, Chassid, he's a Chassid. Rabbi Shimon Natanel, Yerichet, he feared sin. And on and on and on. And then it's praising. And then eventually it tells their Torah. So I always thought it's kind of weird. Why do we need to know all this extra information? But with this background, why do you think the Mishnah is going out of its way to speak praise about these people?
Because they weren't so good.
Maybe. Make them feel good, give them some self-worth. Okay. But there's another, what's another idea perhaps?
In other people's times, so you are praising Shervain, then they'll probably listen to what they have to say.
Sure, it'll have a good effect on the students. If they're so awesome, then you want to listen to that person.
Maybe to show us what's praiseworthy.
To teach us what's something that was right. That's also 100% true. Everything you're saying is 100% true, and nonetheless, I want to give a different answer. Just to teach us that we should praise other people. We shouldn't be shy to offer compliments and praise towards others. So that's my new shot on that mission. Okay. that's a little title on what compliments. It's va'afta l'recha kamocha. It helps us love other people, and on a more simple level, it makes people feel good about themselves. Right? And that's what I want to talk about now on a psychological level. So the Halakha Mark Twain has an awesome quote. A very famous quote, a delicious quote. It says, he said, "I can live for 2 months on a good compliment." I really like that quote because I also really like compliments. So I understand what Mark Twain is saying. I remember. Anybody else really like compliments?
I hate them.
Okay, some people. Thanks for the honesty. But some people love them, and some people hate. Yeah, we might have to find if we have time, we can get into a little bit why. Why it is that some people don't feel so comfortable with compliments? We'll see if we have time. But in any case, Mark Twain really liked compliments, and there are actually studies which say that for some people, a good compliment has a better effect on your happiness level than straight money and cash money. Right? You get more if somebody gives you a compliment in your day than if somebody gave you $50. That's how big of an effect it can have on raising your happiness level. That's why this really should be part of the happiness course. But like I said, chesed is its own category, so we're just focusing on. They're really intertwined, both of these topics. And Shlomo Melech also writes in Mishle, the tongue has the power of life and death.
Mm. Double-edged sword.
Who said this?
Shlomo Melech.
The tongue
has the power of life and death. Life and death, isn't it? Where, in other words, he also writes later in Proverbs, a kind word cheers man up. Well, if anyone here ever had that experience where you're kind of not in the best mood and someone says something really nice and makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Happened to me today. You know, all the time. Right. There's a great book. It's called Fill Your Friend's Bucket. And it's a children's book. Anybody ever hear this book? The concept is, it's by Carol McLeod. Children are taught that when they smile or compliment other children, you fill up their bucket with happiness. And when they criticize or make other people feel bad, you dump out their bucket. And their goal every day is to fill the bucket as much as possible. So I like that book. I want to get that book.
Fill the bucket.
Fill the bucket. Gotta fill the bucket. Rabbi Nachman Mibreslov also famously talks about this concept that Daniel was alluding to before about the power of a good compliment. And he takes it a step further. And he says, it's not just about the words that you say about another person, but even the intentions, even your thoughts, even the Nekudah Tova. Rabbi Nachman writes in the Kutei Maharan, just thinking good about another person, somehow metaphysically, it's bringing them onto a higher level. And so you could try it right now. Think good about. Yeah. We could try it. Everybody think good about someone in the room. Okay. Did anyone here feel good about themselves at that moment? I did. I felt really good. See, the experiment worked. See, look at that. It always works. About. So Rabbi Nachman says, by thinking good about others, you actually will speak good about others, and you're literally metaphysically raising them to a higher level. Okay. And we're going to veer off on a side point, but it's really, really related, and that's, this is also one of the most fundamental tips in terms of building a good marriage. And not just marriage, really any relationship. It could be with your parents, it could be with your best friends, it could be anyone. Compliments, words of sincerity, words of affirmation is one of the most important things to master. So the book that got me exposed to this concept is this book, The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. Anybody hear of this book?
Yeah,
I was on it.
Yeah.
You had a class on it? Great. Yeah. Awesome. So it's an excellent book, in my opinion. I really like it. And what it talks about is different love languages. How we want to express our love towards others and give love towards others, but different people accept love in different ways. And one of the primary ways in which the human brain is primed to accept love is words of praise, words
of
affirmation.
What were the
five again? Remember the five? Let's go through it. I'm trying to remember. Touch.
Like,
touch is definitely one of them.
Gifts, right?
Praise, gifts. What else?
Acts of service.
Acts of service, yeah.
Humans are wired to.
I don't remember that.
Usually, to be one, like you're more attached to one of them.
No, humans are.
Words of affirmation, quality time.
Oh, you
asked
me.
Quality time. That's
where you
forget. Yeah, yeah. Humans are wired to really like praise. We're even more sensitive, as we'll talk about in a second, to criticism.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why Gary Chapman, not Gary Chapman, John Gottman, who wrote another book, The Seven, I have it here. He has the Love Lab and does all sorts of interesting studies. And he basically found that the percentage to make a good marriage is 5 compliments per every criticism. And I would say not just in marriage, but in any relationship. You want to splice up every time you're going to give some rebuke with 5 times more positivity and compliments, because we are wired. Yeah, everyone's different. Obviously, we're just talking in generalizations. Maybe we could write a new book, The Language is Love.
No, I just feel like I find it weird when people praise me. I'm like, you're my
baby. Oh, so we're going to love the second half of this year. Oh, I love, I mean hate, but it's going to be great.
Who was the one that said about book 5?
Gary Chapman. It's in this book right here, which they sell in this farm store. So apparently.
No, the 5% of.
Oh, John Gottman.
I
And I think that's called The 7 Principles of Making a Marriage Work. He's actually, I believe, an Orthodox too, because I saw him do a TED talk with Kippa on. I didn't know when I read the book. But yeah, he writes also about different marriage techniques, and he also talks about, here I have it quoted, the ironclad formula for marital harmony is as follows. One critical mark should be balanced by 5 compliments. Keeping this in mind will ensure that your account is balanced. The price your interest a husband must pay for a negative balance can accumulate and cause him to go bankrupt. Right?
Whoa.
So, that's true.
Sounds expensive. It's like the Forfeits died in Egypt.
Yeah, that's true. be wary with your criticism. And in fact, similarly, the Relationship Handbook. I'm telling you all my favorite relationship books by George Pransky. Talks about how communication, very often people think communication is good. Communication is the key to marriage. And what Pransky says is that's not true at all. Communication is neutral. Communication is a tube. And if there's positivity flowing through that tube, so then that communication is fantastic. If there's much more positivity than negativity, of course, occasionally you need to criticize, it needs to be constructive criticism, but it needs to be spliced in a positive way so that it doesn't give off a negative vibe. But if there's a lot of negativity in the communication, then you're not building a relationship, you're destroying the relationship. So, again, it's not just true in marriage, it's true in any relationship. So all of them really come to the same conclusion, all these therapists, that the key to building a strong marriage and any strong relationship is a lot of genuine compliments. In fact, in the love languages, Gary Chapman has a great story about this couple, Bill and Betty Joe, who were going through a terrible time in their marriage and everything was bad. And all Gary Chapman got them to do is, at the end of the day, reflect upon one positive quality that about your spouse, and it completely transformed the marriage. And Bill, by the end of it, said, she made me feel like a man again. And he felt like the marriage was going in an amazing direction. Now, interestingly, Betty Jo didn't feel to the same extent of excitement. She did feel more positively towards Bill, but not everyone responds in the same way towards compliments, right? Some people love it, some people like it, and apparently some people hate it. But not everyone's wired the same in this, but many people do, I'd say most people do enjoy a good, genuine compliment. Yeah. So it's a great way to give. And also of Jonathan Sacks, I found, when he's very often asked, you know, he does weddings, he's asked, what should I do to build my marriage? And his main piece of advice, which also was something that my Rebbe Rav Yair gives people is once a day have a praise session for your wife or for your husband. Just have a genuine, be text, could be WhatsApp, whatever, just where we just, even if though it seems a little fake, just getting into the habit of looking for the good and looking for a new quality towards the other person can really help build a strong relationship. And perhaps the one who says it's the most strongly and the most, I guess even kitzoni, like crazy about this, is Rav Shalom Arush. Who ironically, I only have his women's book. Don't ask me why. I don't know where the men's one went. But he writes a book for men and one for women. I haven't read the one for women. I read a little bit, but I mostly haven't read it. He says you're not supposed to read it, but I was curious. In any case, Rav Arush is a breath of chassid, and he has a lot of interesting theories. One of his theories to build a strong marriage is never, and I mean never, 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 ever, the worst thing in the world is to criticize your spouse, especially for men. Apparently he writes it for women too, but especially for men, you're never allowed to criticize your wife under almost any circumstance. He believes that's like the cardinal rule for building a good marriage. And he has also many stories about how relationships might meet a complete 360 by embracing the no criticism rule. I don't know if I completely embrace this philosophy. It seemed a little bit too extreme for me. I agree. But I think under for certain types of relationships and certain types of critical men types of people, Rav Shalom Arush, this guy, who's still alive, and he's a Breslov chassid. Yeah, Nekuta Tova is yeshiva, and that's his philosophy. I agree. It's a little extreme.
But what do we learn? You should.
But I like that.
Going to
rest
next week.
Yeah? Okay. Good. I think it's nice. I think in general it's nice that we should get into that frame of mind. I think there are certain situations when, of course, an issue needs to be addressed, but even then it can be done with a loving kind of, but we can do this attitude instead of a you're bad, critical type of attitude. I think it can be amazing. Okay? So Adkan, in terms of the psychology and the Jewish perspective, that it's good to compliment people. That's really my main point here. Point two, with that said, you need to be a little careful with your compliments, especially parents. Parents have to be careful with their compliments. How so? Because if you compliment people in the wrong way, you can, especially children, you can kind of train them and mess them up.
Build up their ego
in an unhealthy type of way. Okay, so what exactly, maybe some other people are familiar with this, what is a type of compliments that could be dangerous?
Tell them when they're old enough, not when they're 3, but when they're 7, be like, you should be an artist. Although clearly they shouldn't be an artist.
Right. Okay, so a lie that they're going to confuse them their whole life, that could be. It could definitely be a mistake. Yeah, what else?
That build up ego. You're so pretty.
Right. Okay. Exactly.
That's very bad, actually. Like, that's very dangerous.
What, the pretty?
Yeah.
Good?
Yeah.
You can build, like, there's a princess.
Like,
every kid gets told.
No.
And thus, modern society.
No, like...
lots of problems.
I think because it's also, like, you give the attention to a side of the person that it's actually not that necessary.
Yeah. You feel like you're in a shama, I guess.
Right, you stress their body instead of stress their soul.
Okay, you're beautiful, so what is the difference? Like that actually,
if you said you have a beautiful soul, that might
but
be.
There's
like,
also
yeah.
that. There's I just did a research paper on this. There's also the other side, which is like actually more scary. Sometimes telling, especially girls. You're beautiful, you're beautiful, you're beautiful. They become into this habit of
caring too much.
No, of becoming a pretty princess.
Okay.
And what that means, they start slacking off at school because all they care about is how they look. So it's called, I forgot the name, it's like princess
syndrome.
No, it's like princess syndrome or something. It's actually these girls that start giving up on school, or like they prefer to like do other things just to look pretty instead of like caring about their studies and all that.
Yeah.
Problem.
Yeah. I hate when people call me pretty. Stop. Nobody ever calls me pretty. All right. So I'm going to say what you're saying, but just to more generalize it. So Carol Dweck wrote a book called Mindset.
I mean, sorry. Life-changing. Yeah.
Awesome.
I got to be excited.
That's just pretty good at giving compliments.
Yeah, look at that.
Look at that. I can give compliments, I just don't like
receiving compliments.
What?
Excellent. So we know what to work on. Okay. So Carol Dweck, in this book, Mindset, talks about how there's the growth mindset and there's the fixed mindset that different people have. And having that mindset will determine so many factors of happiness in your life. And what happens when you praise a child for being so smart or so pretty or so perfect is very often they became afraid to not live up to these expectations. And instead of jumping into challenges, they're just scared of being a failure, not being good enough. And so we kind of can mess with children if we do this. And so we got to be careful with that, not to praise people in the wrong way. Instead, what we should praise them is to say,
how smart you are. Not how smart you are, I'm sorry. How well you study for that test.
Exactly.
You took a lot of effort. I saw your effort.
Exactly.
Sorry.
You tried so hard. Yeah. You worked so hard. You did an amazing effort. If we praise their efforts and talk
that
about that.
Change
yeah. Bezalel Hashem, it should change all of ours.
What's
it called? It's called Mindset.
Love changing.
Yeah. We should read it. We should stag it together.
16.
Awesome.
Is it as good as Brachot? Like,
Masechet Brachot?
It's
like a second thing.
it's
all the same. So you can find it. If you learn Masechet Brachot well enough, you'll find it in there. How do I know? Because the very next source. Oh my God, it's a Shkana. I'm not lying, by the way. It's the very next source. Gemara Brachos, 58a. Says, even though this has very little to do with what we were talking about, but it happens to be the next source. But let's just finish the point. So when you're praising someone, especially children, especially sensitive people, better to not dwell upon how awesome they are, but to praise the process. Okay? So they learn to love the process. And changing schools to be process-oriented actually completely transformed schools and made like the worst schools in math in the country the best schools. And just go on to write Carol Dweck in TED Talk, and she has some great. Or I can send it on the group theoretically if we make a group. But I want to
believe everything we're reading.
Yes. No, but
like I have this great reviewer's name, Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
He says just because you read it in the magazine, you see it on the TV screen, don't make it factual.
That's true. Yeah. Not sure what your point is, but that is true.
That's what I'm studying.
No,
I'm studying communications, which is all like how bad and junky you make it so people buy it.
And you know, there are people that write books on one side and people that write books on the other side as well.
So what? We shouldn't read anything? We should read everything and then make a reasonable decision. Or if we can't, go to the people who have read everything and trust them. That's where we end up.
I had such a good conversation today with this random dude I made on my way.
Hold on, Daniel. It seems awesome. It's related.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So he said that we've got two eyes, and we've got two ears, and we've got a nose, and it's like when we look at things, we should think about what we're looking at, and judge it, and also when we hear things, on the one hand, on the other hand, and then we should make a decision after we've weighed up the things.
Mm-hmm.
We should weigh up what the information that we're receiving.
Uh-huh. Okay, so one last now that you mentioned the Gemara and Brachos, I have to say what the Gemara does have a very nice quote. I love this quote. It says, what does a good guest say? How much effort my host exerted for my sake, how much meat he prepared, and what fine wine he served, how much quinoa, how was out in so many side dishes, and he prepared all of it for my sake. And what does a bad guest say? What did my host do after all? I only ate one slice of bread, a small portion of meat, and drank only one glass of wine. All the effort he exerted was really for his wife and children. Right? And you might always see it. Some people come to a Shabbos table and they're like, oh, I see it because I host a lot of Shabbos tables. And some people are like, so wow, it's amazing. And they give specific compliments and then they do the dishes and they're like, oh, I want to invite them back again. And other people, they're like, come, they don't understand. They basically feel like it's expected. Yeah, and they don't really, I just put my whole life, you know, I put days in, you know.
You don't carry money over for the next week.
And then they bring their Ben and Jerry's and they take it back when we eat. Stop. But I think it's cool that the Gemara talks specifically when it comes to being a host and being a guest to talk about the process that the host went and all that hard work. And that also will give us much more gratitude when we're eating the meal. Whoa, this is like a 4-course meal with wine. Imagine you went to a restaurant and there's wine and this course and that course and this and dessert. And you spend like 500 shekel, right? But we get that every week, but we get used to it. So it's important to appreciate that, but that's a different topic, but it's also important to compliment the process.
So interesting, we've got lefties on that side of the table.
Yeah.
And the righties are on this side.
Lena Rustin was also a therapist who used this to actually cure people who had stutters. And she took these children, and instead of criticizing them every time they made a mistake, she trained the family to praise different aspects of these children, but genuine praise, and in that way to encourage the people to grow better. And this can work for training someone to dance, to play sports, to play guitar. It's all about looking for the good Nekuda Tova and then sprinkling in the constructive criticism.
What that means?
Yeah, what?
Nekuda Tova.
Yeah, the good point. That's the Rabbi Nachman. Yeah.
Guys.
Is that what that word means?
Nekuda Tova.
Because there was like a shul called Nekuda Tova. And on my way over here, there was a guy that I'd met in all my niece that he's doing in Nekuda
Tova. Meet Daniel. His brain works like this. Okay.
Profession.
Hi, the best rock of our base measures, and his brain goes. It's a tremendous process. Kavat. All right. See? Specific compliments.
Thanks.
Sprinkle with a little. Nah, I don't think there's any criticism. Okay. One more point I want to point out about giving compliments, and this is from Marshall Rosenberg. This is his book. It's him. This is from Nonviolent Communication, which is another practical tool to connect and communicate skillfully in every situation. Another communication seminar way of thinking that I enjoy, that I learn a lot from. And what Rosenberg talks about is that it's very important when we're complimenting not to compliment to manipulate. Like he looks at a lot of the YouTube videos and the studies and the books, and there's these bosses who are being trained, yeah, praise your workers, because then you'll get more production out of them. And basically, you're using them through your compliments. And eventually, they're going to feel that. And they can tell the difference between when they're complimenting to get you or when they're complimenting because they just want to give. So he talks, we have to check in within ourselves. We should compliment because we really want to compliment. And by the way, maybe that's why some people don't like compliments, because they get the feeling that the people are just saying it because they have to say it. You know, thank you so much. It looks great. It's like that, it's cute, but like it's not, it doesn't. It's almost, for some people, it has a negative connotation. So when we're complimenting, we need to be aware of ourselves to do it for real.
Well,
yeah,
that's a good sign. Actually, maybe you can change the people that you're surrounded with to like people who are more truthful.
Yeah. What if you're really bad at complimenting?
That's why you can't do this year, because we're gonna learn how to do it.
Like
genuine,
like your face doesn't say it.
My experience is that when you're genuine, people can feel it. So I think most of the time people will be able to pick up on it. And yeah, you can work on it. There are things to work on. But I think most of the time if you're genuine, people get it. At least for me. I get it. I feel like I can tell the difference right away between a real compliment.
Yeah. And if you don't feel it, have to work on yourself. You know. If you don't feel the difference, I would work on myself.
Speaking of tips for giving good compliments, just a few tips, and then we're going to do this. So pay good attention. One, be specific. Okay? For example, in Birchot HaShachar, what do Chazal have us do? They don't just say, thanks, Zem. They say, thank you, God, for my eyes. Thank you, God, I can walk. We start off our day with 15 thank yous to train us to look for the details. Even when it comes to food, we don't just say, thank God for the food. Thank you, God, for this type of food.
The day starts with Mori Ani.
Yeah. And then specifically going in with what you're thankful about. I'm alive and this and that and the other thing. I think Chazal were trying to teach us to train our brains to be specific. Because that's really when we tap into the joy, when we think about the specifics, the prat, the detail. That's tap number one. And in that comes when we're complimenting other people too, not with Hashem. Also with Hashem, first of all, when you're doing Yibodah, you know, be specific about what you're grateful for. And also when it comes to, you know, praising other people, don't say, I just keep going back to this, this is my classic go-to, wow, that was a great Shabbos meal. Like, that's cute, doesn't feel, I don't feel anything when someone says that. But if someone says, wow, that was delicious watermelon that you schlepped from the shuk, then that hits my heart, because that, you know, or wow, that's, it was all bad that came out. Right? That song, when we, that jam, right, Daniel came, that jam at the end of it, it made me feel, then I feel good about myself. But if it's just general, it doesn't do
that
it.
That is so cool.
Thanks. Thanks, Daniel. See? He's demonstrating. Right? Okay. And that's true with everything in life, not just the Shabbos. Okay. Let's just shift a little bit. Spend 5 more minutes on not giving compliments, but receiving compliments. Okay? Because this is hard for, I think everyone here probably has been trained in a way to not really know how to receive compliments. Okay? Because maybe I'm just speaking for myself, a lot of the time we've been taught by our society to deflect the compliment. Right? I do this all the time, most of the time. When someone says, oh, it was a great Shabbos meal. And what do I say? Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, I didn't do anything. I was like, yeah, it was easy. It's no big deal. Right? Anyone else do that? Somebody praises you and you just like, wash it to the side?
It's not paying.
Yeah, no biggie. Whatever.
I'm like, no.
Right.
No, it's like, not true.
Right.
That's good meaning.
So, why can that sometimes be a little problematic when we deflect the praise?
Because it's not being true.
Because first of all, it's not completely true, because you really are awesome or whatever.
You're not accepting valid person's praise.
Oh, exactly. They want to give to you. Imagine someone comes to your house, they bake you this delicious cake, right? And then you show up and say, oh, no, I don't need sugar, sorry, take it back. Yeah. Right? Not that extreme.
That happened to
no.
Like the cake with eggs in it.
Yeah.
And she went to like a vegan,
uh-huh.
And after show, told her to come back and pitch your cake.
Right. Not nice. They want to give, receive. Later you'll figure out what to do with it. Receive. The Rebbe Me'ashlag, we've talked about it last class, we talked about inner work, the Ashlag Rebbe. He speaks often about, very often we don't know the difference between giving and taking. We're very confused in any particular situation. It's not always clear if I'm giving or taking. Right? For example, right now, it might seem like I'm the teacher, I'm being mashpia, I'm giving, and you're taking. Maybe that is true a little bit, right? I prepared all day and I'm giving you all this information from all these books that I learned. And you're going to receive it so your life will be happier. Maybe. But maybe what usually I find in my life, it's the other way around. Rabbi Nachman says, you're giving me. Think about how much joy I get when I get to teach. The joy I got while learning to prepare this year. Right? And then when I get to speak it out, it really goes into my brain. So it could be very well you're giving me far more than I'm receiving. Than I'm giving. I'm receiving much more. And the same is true when someone's giving you a compliment. They want to give you that compliment. So receive. Let them receive the compliment. Let them receive it so that you can give to them. And they can enjoy the act of giving. You get it? Makes sense. But by deflecting, we don't allow that. And maybe in a more simple sense, life's about relationship, about connection. Life's all about connecting to Hashem and connecting to each other. That's all of life. So when someone gives you a compliment, they're trying to connect to you. So when you deflect it, you end it. That's it. There's no more relationship here. But when you receive, then it still flows. You receive it, and there's more of a connection. And what Marshall Rosenberg suggests, actually, is not just to receive it, but then to give it back. But not give it back in a fake type of way, which is most people do. Right? Someone says, oh, Rav Keith, that was an awesome soup you cooked. You're an amazing cook. And I'm like, wow, you also made a great soup. Probably last night. That's what I do, but that doesn't make any sense. We always say silly things that aren't good. They're funny, but... So instead, what you can say is, what could I say to reflect it back? David, give me a compliment about my soup.
Oh, that soup is very tasty, just the right amount of sweet and spiciness to it.
Wow. Thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate it. And now if David wants, what can he say if he really wanted?
Oh, thank you for being so grateful.
Yeah. Thanks for being grateful to me. Just go for it. But don't try that at home. Might drive people crazy. It's all fun. But you see how a connection like just keeps flowing there instead of just like done. Okay, one more brilliant tip that Marshall Rosenberg talks about. And I learned this from Danny. I took a 3-month course on NBC. So shout out to Danny.
Hey Danny.
If he ever gets him somehow. Says, when you speak about when David judges me, that's one thing. It's, let's say I played guitar and I had a great gig. And I played a nice Megan. I had a great Tish. So if David can tell me, wow, you're awesome, Keith. You did an amazing job with that Tish. And I feel nice about myself. It's good. But we'll be even deeper.
That's a Tish that Bar Torah changed my life.
Oh,
I learned so much.
Exactly. When David speaks about himself, he doesn't talk about me. Because me, it's a judgment. And it might be right, it might be not. Maybe I'm good at Tish, maybe I'm terrible at Tish, and he's completely off base, and I just laugh at that. Who knows? But when David talks about him, he knows him. And when I feel what it did to him, then that can create a genuine, real connection. But tip number 3 is talk about you, don't talk about don't
so
judge the other person.
You make me want to become a better person?
Yeah. You're talking about you. Your emotions. Awesome. Oh, amazing.
That's how you recognized it. Sorry.
Amazing. Okay. So now what I'd like to do before we have our general brainstorming is I want to do a quick fun exercise. So here's how it's going to work. Everyone here, should I have it? Let's think, what's the best way to do this? Thinking we should write a genuine praise about someone else in the room, but doing it in the ways that we've delineated, which is that it needs to be genuine, it needs to be about something specific, okay? And then the other person has to just receive it, okay? Maybe we'll pair up the boys and boys, and girls, and I'll talk to myself.
I have already.
Yeah? Oh, you already have?
Yeah.
Okay.
I have to wait.
So, no, why don't we do this? You girls go together, you girls together, and you boys do together, and then afterwards we'll do a communal one where everyone, if they want, can give a praise to anyone they want. Okay? This doesn't have to be a long thing. Yeah. First we'll say it to each other. Say it to each other, and then afterwards we'll write it to each other. Okay? David and Daniel.